235, okay.
All right, good afternoon, everyone. Nice to see you all today. Please open your Bible to the book of Acts, chapter 20, from verse 36. Acts, chapter 20, verse 36. While you're turning there, I would like to say welcome to our first-time couple, the Nakajimas. Ah, welcome to Mitaki. We hope you feel the warmth and love of God. Yeah, all right. I've been to Chicago. Yeah, it's a very romantic city. Hiroshima, not so much, but, but yeah, good city, okay. All right, also welcome back, Amir. Good to see your face, even with a mask on. All right. So, Acts chapter 20, verse 36, our subject is friendship is forever. Friendship is forever. You're looking at, oh, you can go back, yeah. You're looking at a beach in the Mediterranean Sea. It's a beach on the coast of a small city called Kos, or Kos. And this is a beach that is similar to what we are about to read. The story is of a man named Paul who has gathered on the beach to meet and pray with his friends for the last time. And it's very sad and heartbreaking, but we learn much from this story. So before we read, there are a lot of place names and unfamiliar names. So in your bulletin, you have a very convenient map. So if your eyes are still good, you don't need bifocals to look at it. But in the middle of that map, you can see some names. You can go ahead and go to the next slide. So it's the same map as the bulletin, pretty much. But in the middle, you can see a place called Miletus, and then there's Kos, there's Rhodes, and then there's, in the middle, there's a place called Patara, and then there's the island of Cyprus, and then the arrow goes to a city called Tyre, and then just below Tyre is a place called Caesarea. And those are just some place names where we're going to be reading about. It's kind of a travel log or a travel journal. And just so that you have an image in your mind as we read the events that's happening. And so when we pick up the story today in Acts chapter 20, go ahead and get to the next slide. This is Paul. He's on that beach at Miletus. He's meeting with pastors, leaders from a church in Ephesus. And he has given a long goodbye to them. And now they're ready to set sail, get on a boat and ready to go. Oh, by the way, I'm sorry, Suikane-san and Osawa-san, we don't have a translator. If somebody is able to, from the English to the Japanese, that would be very helpful. Okay, or supernaturally the Holy Spirit will translate. I don't know. We'll leave it to you. But, okay, we're going to go from Acts chapter 20, verse 36, and I'll continue to Acts 21, verse 8. Please join me at Acts 21, verse 5. So I'll read from 36 to verse 4. Hear now the word of God. When Paul had finished speaking, he knelt down with all of them and prayed. They all wept as they embraced him and kissed him. What grieved them most was his statement that they would never see his face again. Then they accompanied him to the ship. verse 1. After we had torn ourselves away from them, we put out to sea and sailed straight to Kos. The next day we went to Rhodes and from there to Patara. We found a ship crossing over to Phoenicia, went on board and set sail. After sighting Cyprus and passing to the south of it, we sailed on to Syria. We landed at Tyre, where our ship was to unload its cargo. We sought out the disciples there and stayed with them 7 days. And through the Spirit, they urged Paul not to go on to Jerusalem. Let's read together from verse 5. And when it was time to leave, we left and continued on our way. All of them, including wives and children, accompanied us out of the city, and there on the beach we knelt to pray. After saying goodbye to each other, we went aboard the ship, and they returned home. We continued our voyage from Tyre and landed at Ptolemais, where we greeted the brothers and sisters and stayed with them for a day. Leaving the next day, we reached Caesarea and stayed at the house of Philip the evangelist, one of the seven. The very word of God. Amen.
Sunikane-san, 大丈夫 desu ka?
Ah, okay, okay. All right. All right.
授業じゃないけど、質問があったらどうぞ。
自由に手を挙げてください。 OK. If a church is anything, a church is a place of friends. A church is a place of worship, of prayer, of song and music, a place of teaching, and a place of silence and meditation. That's a church. But if a church is anything, it is a place of friends. The problem is, we don't have enough friends. And I don't mean there's not enough people. I'm talking about in our lives, even as Christians. We lack depth and passion and length in our relationships with people who we should call our friends. And there's something in our hearts that thinks, I am not a good friend, or I wish I was a better friend, or why can't they be better friends? And so, as we're reading through this story in the book of Acts, I know some of you are thinking, what is this? It's just them going from a city to a city on a boat and traveling and saying goodbye. And, huh? It's not about anything. Oh, no. So much to learn about friendship. So, the main character right now, go ahead and go to, let's go to, yeah, keep going, Yuki. Yeah, keep going. Keep going. Okay, right there. Go back. One more, forward. There we go. Okay. All right. We're going to learn about how Paul relates to his friends, and we'll learn lots about friendship. So, all right. And I'm going to try not to be distracted by Suikane-san and Osawa-san. But, okay. I teach junior high kids, and should be nothing for me. So, all right. So here's the story. this is Acts chapter 20 and 21. So until Acts chapter 20, Paul has been in control. He's moving. He is traveling. Paul is leading. He's preaching. He's going from city to city. He's building churches. He's making disciples. He's going to Athens and speaking at the Areopagus. And he's moving. It's dangerous. He's been in prison. He's been beaten. And it's not always safe, but he is the one doing the moving. After this story, from chapter 21, Paul is no longer in control. He's going to be put into prison, handcuffed. He's not going to choose where he goes. It's people choosing for him where he goes. And his life is even more crazy, more danger, more violence. And so here in this today's story, we are at a point where he's going from one part of his life to another section. The section where he was in control, he was moving, he was leading. And then the next section is he's no longer in control. And there's this very important middle transition section. Okay? You with me? And what we find at this very pivotal situation, time, is Paul is surrounding himself with friends. He's calling his friends. He's gathering with his, he's meeting with, he's staying with friends, old friends and new friends. At this very pivotal, important point in his life. And what we see are so many lessons. So the first thing is this. We understand that at this very important life, he needs friends. You see, that's the first point, is that friendship is needed. Right? In Acts 20, he's gathering his friends from Ephesus. You know, he's with them all. And in Acts 21, he's going from city to city getting his friends. Here's the first lesson. Go ahead. Yeah. Here's the first lesson. Paul, one of the most spiritually mature people in the world ever, the need for friendship is spiritual maturity. If you say, I don't need friends, it's enough of them, I'm tired with them, that's a sign of spiritual immaturity. But the desire for friendship, companionship, partnership, that is a sign of strength, not weakness. And we're going to show you now. In the scriptures, that's the whole reason we have been made by God. God made us out of friendship, and God made us for friendship. You see, all the way at the beginning of the Bible, at the beginning of the story, in Genesis, evil begins at Genesis chapter 3. Sin and the fall of humanity is introduced at Genesis chapter 3. But in Genesis chapter 1 and 2, God says 7 times, it is good. It is good. It is yoshitosareta, yoshitosareta. And then it is very good when he creates man. However, something strange we read in Genesis chapter 2, God says, wait. It is not good. This is before sin is introduced. This is before evil, but God still says, wait a minute, it's not good. Genesis chapter 2, verse 18, the Lord God said, it is not good for a man to be alone. Wait a minute, so hold on. Adam needed a friend. Adam needed a partner, a companion, not because of sin, not because of weakness. He was made complete. He was perfect. He was good. And in that situation, he needed a friend. What does that tell us about humanity, about our lives? It means this. We're not made to enjoy life alone. Now, does that mean, you know, we all should get married and have a husband or a wife and no. It does mean that our fullest experience of joy is not complete if we are alone. That's what it's saying. Why? And I'll get to this at the end, but let me just put it in your mind at the beginning. It's in the very heart of God. You see, God, in other religions, you know, in Buddhism, in Hinduism, God is just impersonal. It's like a force, right? Or in other religions that are monotheistic, God has always existed just by himself. And it's not, so when he finally makes people, when he finally creates angels, now he has relationship. That's in other religions. In Christianity, from eternity past, God has always been a relationship. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. God is relationship. Right? You with me? So listen now. Listen. The more you want relationship, the more you and I desire friendship, the more we are like God. You see that? It's from his nature. It's from who he is. The flip side is, the less we want friends, the more we want to be alone, now, the less like God we are. But now I understand. I'm an introvert. Leave me alone. Right? My idea of heaven is me in a room by myself watching NBA basketball. That's heaven, okay? But I'm not talking about that alone, okay? All right? I'm talking about the problem here at Mitaki International English Service. You see, we just celebrated the Choju Shukufuku Kai. In a Japanese service. Choju Shukufuku Kai means people above 70. There's people in the Japanese service, a lot of them white hair. And they've been at this church a long time. Okay? Not at the English service. Okay? Why? Because people at the English service, they're often in and out. That's just how we are. That's just the English service. Right? And it's hard. I've been here 20 years now. It's hard. You make friends. You develop relationships. You build companions only to say goodbye after a few years. And it's hard. It's heartbreaking, right? That's how it is. And so, you know, new people come. First time visitors come, and it's like, right? But the less I want to be a friend of someone, the less I become like Jesus. And so that's difficult. So you have a picture here. The picture is, you know, air. You know, nobody says, I love air. You know, air is so good. You know, without air, my mind doesn't work and my body. No one says that. Air. Bless the air. No one says it, right? The only time somebody says, I need air, is when they're under the water, right? That's when you realize, oh, I need air. Give me air, right? I'm desperate for air. The only time you realize you need friends is when you've gone under. And you're just sitting there alone, and you are miserable, and you realize, wow, my life does not work without friends. So just the first point. We need friends. We need friends. Let's keep going. Now here's it gets deeper. Let's go deeper. Friendship is not only needed, friendship is side by side. So verse 3 of chapter 21, after sighting Cyprus and passing to the south of it, we sailed on to Syria and we landed at Tyre or Tyre. It's at the right side of the map. And there is a church in Tyre. Now, at that church, there are Christians, and they meet with those Christians. Here's something interesting. Paul did not make this church. Paul did not plant this church. These are Christians Paul has never met. Okay? First time to meet these Christians from Tyre, most likely. All the other churches, he knows them. Oh, Paul, hisashiburi. Church at Tyre, hajimemashita. Nice to meet you. But here's something interesting. At that church in Tyre, or Tyre, they're arguing with Paul. They're exhorting Paul. Paul, don't go to Jerusalem. Don't go. The Holy Spirit is telling you, you should not go there. And they're talking to Paul as if they had known him for years. How is that possible? How is it that people he had just met feel like they have the right and the authority to start talking to him as if they were his old friends? How does that happen? It comes from the second point. Let's go to the next slide, Dookie. So let's go. Chapter 20, verse 36. When Paul had finished speaking, he knelt down with them and prayed. He knelt down and prayed. And in verse 5 of chapter 21, when it was time to leave, they were on the beach and we knelt to pray. So here's friendship. Friendship is this. Friendship is looking in the same direction. I've said this before. Romantic relationship, husband and wife, boyfriend and girlfriend. The relationship is two people looking at each other face to face. Friendship is a relationship of two people looking in the same direction and saying, you like baseball too? Me too. You like this author? Me too. Romance is, do you love me? Friendship is, do you love this truth? We share this truth. We share this hobby. We share this interest. We share this passion. And so we are looking at it together. That's just friendship in general. That's just friendship. You don't have to be a Christian to have that kind of friendship. That's having something in common, okay? Christian friendship, different. Christian friendship is not only saying, oh, I believe this truth with you. Not only that. It's not only, oh, I like this Christian music. Oh, I go to this same church. That's not Christian. Christian friendship is we bow and kneel before the same God. We're kneeling together. You see that? Twice it says it. That is powerful. When you, as a Christian, are praying together with another Christian, you are interacting with the power of God. And there is a bond that expresses itself so powerfully that you are knit together. You are bonded together in a way that no other friendship can. Let me keep going. One more slide. Let me ask you this question. How do you know that you are a Christian? Here's one way that you can tell. You go outside, you see somebody, they're dressed weird. You come close to them, they smell weird. Maybe they have a different skin color. When you talk to them, you have nothing in common. And not only that, their their politics, their ideas, they're just out there. Either they're conservative, you're progressive, you're liberal, they're too, right? You like football, they like soccer, they don't call football soccer, you know, all these kinds of crazy things. Bluegrass, hip-hop, nothing in common. The minute you come to church, that same person, you're praying with them, you're brothers and sisters. So how do you know you're a Christian? The people that you normally would never have one conversation with, when you kneel together in prayer, you're bonded to them. That's how you know. That's one way you can tell. And it's at that point you understand, I'm not above this person. I'm not below this person. This relationship that we have in Jesus Christ, it's a gift from God. That's what friendship is. It's side by side. Paul went to Tyre and Miletus and Ephesus and Caesarea. He was praying with people because they were praying to the same God. They were side by side. There was a bond there. Now here's another question that we can apply to this. Why don't you have more friends? I'm asking you this question. I've been asking myself this question all week. I'm not pointing the finger at anybody here. I'm looking at Chris and I'm saying, Chris, what is your problem? Why don't you have more friends? Why can't you have deep, good, lasting friendship with more people? And one of those reasons why, this was conviction for me. The reason why is the less I am passionate about my friendship with God, the less I'm attractive to other people. Let me explain. The more I love God, the more I invest in my friendship with God, the more I trust in my Jesus, my friend, the more I give myself to God, the more like God I become, the more like Jesus I become. Listen, sinners, prostitutes, tax collectors, gang members, thugs, soldiers, the dirtiest of the dirtiest, they were so comfortable and attracted to Jesus. There was no one more attractive than Jesus Christ in terms of character. And the more I am closer to God, the more I'm attractive and more people want to come and know me, and more, and just be a friend. So my desire number one is to be more like Jesus. And the more I'm more like Jesus, the more I know I'll have some friends. It's not to have more friends, but it's to have more of God. The more I have of God, the more friends I know will come. And that's all the joy. That gives me joy. Because now I know I'm not using people to be my friends. I'm having friends as a gift from God. Jesus told me this, John chapter 15. Yeah, disciples, servants, students. No, Jesus says to his disciples, I want you to be my friend. I came to make friends. I no longer call you servants. Servants don't know what their master is doing. But I've told you everything that I'm doing. And so I call you. No greater love than this, than to lay down your life for your friends. So he calls us his friend. Friendship is side by side. Let's keep going. Okay, third point. We're going to move quickly through this. There's the word called fellowship. In Nihongo, it's called majiwari, fellowship, majiwari. And it's a Christian word. It's a word you hear in church. It comes from a word in Greek called koinonia. That's the Greek word. But it means to share. That's just, it kill you, right? Share. So what is friendship? Friendship is sharing. Friendship is sharing. Okay, we're going to move quickly through this. We see in verse 37, Acts chapter 20, they all wept as they embraced and kissed. They were heartbroken. They were tearful. They're hugging, crying. These are men. You cannot be a friend if you don't express your emotions and feelings. That's part of what we do. That's what singing and worship is, emotional expression. And it is the emotional expression in song that unites us as friends. That's one element. You have to share your emotions. If you don't, your friendship is limited. Second thing they share, look at verse 7. We stayed with them for a day. Verse 8, we reached Caesarea and stayed at the house of Philip. Paul is receiving the things, the hospitality, the beds, the food. You cannot be a friend if you're not willing to share your things. Okay? Let's keep going. This third one. Friendship is sharing your faith. So, verse 36, they knelt down with them all and prayed. They knelt to pray again two times. If you read the chapter 20, you'll see Paul, they're talking about the gospel. They're talking about Jesus. They're having spiritual conversations. The Holy Spirit is telling each other, speaking to each other, speaking through them to each other. There's a spiritual aspect to Christian friendship. If you're not sharing prayer with each other, oh, I'll sit next to you. Oh, I'll give some money. Oh, I'll come and listen to the sermon. But we don't have to have Bible study together. We don't need to pray together. I grew up in San Pedro, California, Los Angeles. My city had three military bases, United States Air Force, Navy, and Marines. Three bases in this city. So my church had many families in the United States military. It was difficult to make friends with military people. Very difficult. You know why? Because people in the military, they're at base, they go from base to base to base to base. And I remember that we had some military people here at Mitaki. Good people. They love Jesus. But it was very sad because I could tell the man who was in the military, he was in the military his whole life. And it's hard. Because he doesn't want to pray with you. He doesn't need to come and visit the house. They don't need to share any Bible study. You know, we'll just come to church. And you could just tell from a long life of moving from one city to the next, it's hard to form the bond. It's hard to just be vulnerable and to pray with each other. But unless you're willing to share the gospel to each other, to pray with one another, to share your faith and your trust in God, it's hard to be a friend, especially in a church. So Hebrews chapter 3, verse 13 says, Grace said today, exhort one another daily so that you won't be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. So there's a word I highlighted in green, exhort. That's the word preach. Preach. You have Pastor Chris preaching to you. No, I'm not your friend. I want to be your friend. Okay? All right? But it says daily. I don't see you daily. Your friend meets you daily or outside the church. Right? If you don't have somebody in your life who can preach to you, who can say, this is God's word to you, my friend of 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, half a life. If you don't have that, You're lacking something in your life. Who is that for you? Yeah, we can be fast friends. We'll joke around, you know. We'll tell each other some, you know, good things. We're brothers in the Lord. But not all of you can tell me. I'll preach to you, but it's not a two-way street. Okay. But I praise God. Last night, I met with my brothers, my friends from college for over 2 decades now. I have 5 friends who have the right to say, Chris, you're doing wrong. Chris, that's not the way you should be doing it. Chris, they have the right, the authority that's built over decades to preach to me. Oh, my friends, I pray that you would have people who can exhort you daily. Because sin is deceitful. Sin will harden your heart. Sin, if you don't have people in your life, you think, you cannot say, how dare you? How dare you? You have no right to tell me that. Paul doesn't do that. Even in Tyre, go ahead, give me the next one. Paul is in Tyre. And they're arguing with him. And he doesn't fight back. He doesn't argue back. They've just met. How does that happen? So friends share decisions. They share things. They share emotions. They share their faith. But they also share decisions. So this is in chapter 20. We didn't read it today. But this is part of the story. In chapter 20, verse 22, Paul tells the people, I'm compelled by the Spirit of God. I am going to Jerusalem, okay? And in verse 23, the Holy Spirit warns me. So God is talking to Paul, telling him, you're going to Jerusalem. It's going to be dangerous. It's not going to be peaceful. But you're going. That's God, the Holy Spirit, talking to Paul. And then, the next chapter, 21, verse 4, it says, through the Spirit, they... Not Paul, this is the people from Tyre. They urged Paul not to go to Jerusalem. And they keep going. In Caesarea, more people are telling Paul, don't go. Through the Holy Spirit. So here's Paul. Paul says, God is telling me you're going to Jerusalem. And then the people are telling Paul, if you go to Jerusalem, God says you're going to prison. Is there a question mark? God is telling Paul one thing, but God is telling the other Christians another? No. God is speaking to Paul, you're going to Jerusalem. And God is speaking through the other Christians, if you go, it's not good for you. So what happens? Let's go to the next one. Yuki? When we heard this, we and the people there pleaded with Paul, don't go to Jerusalem. Verse 13, Paul says, I'm ready not only to be bound, but also to die in Jerusalem. Here's what happens. Finally, in verse 21, or verse 14, chapter 21, when he would not be dissuaded, we gave up. Said, the Lord's will be done. Listen to me, please. Please look at me, please. You cannot make the decision by yourself. You can't. God made you for friendship. God made you for mutual exhortation. And God speaks to you directly, and God speaks to you indirectly through your friends. And it is through that we make decisions wisely, lovingly. Godly, in a godly way. And yes, your friends will not understand, and yes, sometimes things are taken out of context, they misunderstand you. Jesus knows exactly how that feels. There is a greater friend, Jesus. He had 12 of them. He made 12 friends, and he kept telling them again and again. They never understood what he was talking about until after he was resurrected. Jesus knows exactly what it is to be misunderstood, to be abandoned by your friends. But still, still Jesus was never giving up. Love always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never gives up. That's the love of Jesus Christ. So they shared in this decision. Love shares decisions, time, things, emotions, all these things. The last point, and we're going to go home. Friendship is forever. You know, constantly in this story, time and again, they're saying goodbye. Verse 38, they would never see his face again. Verse 1 of 21, they tore themselves away. Verse 5, we left and we continued on our way. Verse 6, we said goodbye. Verse 8, we left them again. It's goodbye, 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 right? Constantly. And yet, there's a kind of, even though there's sorrow and weeping, there's a peace and a poise. There's a calmness. There's an understanding. That we can say goodbye for now, but because of our hope, this is not goodbye forever. Friendship is forever. How? How is it forever? I said it at the beginning. Because of God, the nature of God is a Trinity. All of this world, this whole universe, everything was made as a result of the friendship of God, the relationship of God. Therefore, when God made us, he made us for relationship. He made us for friendship. That's our destiny. That was our beginning. That's our end. It's destiny. So for all of us who are Christian, who have our life redeemed, that's called redemption. When God saved us, he saved us. Listen now, not only did he save us from sin, he saved us for friendship. You with me? Amen. The blood on the cross washes away our sins. But the body given up unites us as the body of Christ. So our redemption, our salvation is about friendship. Oh God, make me a better friend. Oh God, give me better friendships. Oh God, make this church a church of friends. Please do this in Jesus' name. So we're going to the table. We're going to have communion today. Please listen. Communion is about unity. It's about friendship. So if you're going to come to Jesus celebrating your friendship with him and remembering your friendships with others. If there's a friendship that's been strained, if there's a forgiveness that needs to happen, if there's a conversation, make a vow today. Let it be today. I need to make a phone call. I need to write a text message. I need to say something. Come to the table of Jesus Christ humbly and seeking out friendships to repair, to redeem, to renew. That's what this table is about. It's communion. I'm married, been married for, I don't know, a few years now, six kids, over a decade. I want to have a better friendship with my wife. If that needs to happen, maybe I need to make a better friendship with my wife. Maybe we need to be better friends for the first time. We started as friends. Maybe that's something we need to take to the table as well as we come thinking about the bread and the blood. So, Yuki, let's go to the scripture. I'm going to cover this.